We open up our Bibles to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. In verse 41, Mark chapter 9 and verse 41, Christ speaking, he says, "For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his rewards." Here we automatically think of rewards, right? But hidden in plain sight right there, it says to us, because ye belong to Christ. Ye belong to Christ. You know, as I've been looking out on things, it's a human nature, human desire to belong to things. If you look at what's happening politically in this world, we're more divided than we've ever been. People are belonging to or jumping into things that, you know, by their actions, they know it's wrong and it's causing problems. But there's that sense of that desire to belong to something that we just ignore sometimes truth. But God wants us to belong to something that is right and truthful. And the world hasn't found it. Found him. And that's really the main problem. But you know what? Satan is very cunning and wise. He exploits this desire that we have to belong to something. He's even exploiting us as Christians. When you really get down and think about it and meditate on it, we have a desire to belong, but we're distracted in all sorts of things, and we belong to all sorts of things that are not him. Here in Mark 9:41, it states that we belong to Christ. Until we understand that as Christians, we will never be fulfilled in our life. And the question not really is, do you belong to him? We all know that. The question is, does he belong to you? From his side of things, you belong to him, and he's going to take care of you, and he's going to be with you. He's going to do everything for you that he can. But the question is, does he belong to you? Have you allowed him into your life? Are you allowing him to guide you? Are you allowing him to help you to grow and to be what he wants you to be? Have you made him yours? That is the question. As I was meditating on this thought, there are three things available to us that will meet our need of belonging. And I'll just give them to you now. Someone to belong to us. Obviously Christ, right? Second one is some place to belong to. And the last one is something. Something good that belongs to us. So three things I want to talk about this morning. Just to give you a teaser there. But let's start out with number one. Someone that belongs to us. You know, as I looked back on my life, and you know, I've always had that desire, looking for somebody to love and someone to love me. And when I realized that Christ was that person, you know, I accepted him. Accepted the free gift of forgiveness of sins, him coming into my life. Before that, I thought, that the world could meet that need. As a young man, I was driven by that desire to belong to something. And I think that's what's happening in this world. Everybody wants to belong to something. Wants to mean something to somebody. It's just not the parents. That's why the kids rebel against the parents. And it's not Christ either. It's the same thing. Christ is like that parent, that has too much sway in your life. We all want to have that sense of wanting to belong to someone, but we all have our own ideas of who that someone should be. So we're all looking to be loved by someone and for someone to love us. That's based on biblical principle. If we go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 and verse 24, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." Verse 24 goes on to say, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and they shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." 23 is interesting. Here Adam says, "This is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh." Eve met a need of belonging in his life. He wasn't alone after that. I remember when I first got married and I woke up the day after and I was satisfied, this sense of satisfaction, of great satisfaction was there. But it didn't last. Down the line, I realized, well, she meets a lot of needs, and she's the greatest. But it wasn't what I really needed. Satan is good at that. He likes to distract us and make us think that we need this, that, and the other. But what we really need is, we saw it right there, is Christ. Most Christians do not experience this in their life. They don't have that sense of belonging to Christ. Why? Because they don't want to belong to Christ. No, I can't belong to him because then he's going to ask me to go to Timbuktu, Africa. I'm afraid of what he'll want from me. No. His way is the best way. And when you give in and have that belonging to him, there's no greater calling in life, no greater thing that meets our need than his will. His will. But if you don't have him, then you're afraid of his will. If we go to Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6, it says this, to the praise of the glory of God, of his grace, wherein he hath made us acceptable in the beloved. Now here the beloved is Christ. He is the beloved Son in whom God was pleased with. The dove came down and the voice went out. But we have been made acceptable in the beloved. Christ meets our need of belonging completely. The problem is we don't realize that, and we don't actively look for that in him. We're looking in other places. If we go to John chapter 1 and look at verse 12, John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Christ meets that need of belonging to a family. The family of God. Your parents might abandon you, but he will bring you in. He will love you. He will make you family. He has made you family if you've believed. There's a belonging there. There's a responsibility that he has towards us. Problem is, we ignore what he's done for us. Or we're ignorant of it. Or we're just entitled. We don't appreciate. I can see that in my relationship with my kids. Some of them don't appreciate. They've walked away from the Lord. Satan fell out of heaven. He didn't appreciate the Lord. So Christ meets our need of belonging to a family. If we go to John chapter 15 and verse 4, it says here, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." Here we see, not only that does he bring us into his family, but here he wants to bring us into a relationship with him, a close relationship, abiding, dwelling, sitting with him. How many times do we as Christians think, "Oh no, but he's far off. I can't reach him. I can't get to him. I don't feel him. I don't." Feelings are up and down. You need to know him. And the only way to know him is to go to him and to his word and find out about him, what he's done for you. What he's doing for you. What he is preparing for you. How things end. I've read the back of the book and we win. Why are we wallowing in defeat? There's no reason. We have a warped sense of belonging. We belong to this world. Yet before we believed in Christ, we belonged to Satan. "Ye are of your father, the devil." Yeah, and we like to do his deeds. That's what he said to the religious Jews, the Pharisees. But praise God that God worked in us and we believed in him and we were freed from that. We belong to him. But you know, he doesn't demand. He doesn't He's not an overlord and demands control of your life and is trying to manipulate you or anything like that. He is such a gentleman. He's waiting for you to belong to him. He's waiting for you to come and experience that with him. And in many cases, that is very elusive because we don't feel intimate with him. A lot of times we don't even know how to get there. But he says it clearly, me in you and you in me. And I have to spend time with him. And if you don't do that on a daily basis, you're in trouble. You're not going to have that sense of belonging. Try that with your wife or your husband. It's not going to go over well if you're not with them daily and communicating and working through all those little problems that come up. Rubbing shoulders. Getting hit by them, and you know, it's real. It is real. Can you say that? He is mine. It is real. Most Christians cannot say that. We go to Matthew chapter 13. Well, no, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 first. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. It says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan is actively working in this world so that nobody can ever belong to Christ. Even more than that, Satan is working to do the same in the lives of Christians. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Let's look at verses 20 through 22. Here we have a proverb. Parable, not a proverb. I was thinking Spanish and I was trying to translate back. I'm still thinking in Spanish, I'm sorry. So most of my preaching I do in Spanish. So I have everything memorized in Spanish. So translating it back to English or how it's said in the Bible in English is sometimes difficult for me. But here in Matthew chapter 13 and verses 20 through 22, it says, but he that received the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Christ here is talking about the majority of Christians. Why do I say that? Because it's true. Most Christians think that just coming on Sunday morning, that's enough.
Good job.
I'm going to heaven. I'm a child of God. Yeah, bless me, Lord. They're actually deceived into thinking that is enough. Satan is robbing most Christians of a lot of things, but in this case, what I'm talking about is belonging to Christ. And Christ belonging to us. He's working really hard. He does not want you to grow closer to Christ. Because if you do that, then you will become useful to Christ. And then that's when things start happening. That's when you start seeing miracles happen. Satan doesn't want that. Most Christians get frustrated in life and, you know, don't see people respond the way they want them to respond, and they give up. But we need to understand that Christ is available to love you and for you to love him. He's available. He's waiting. He wants to meet that need that you have. He wants you to belong to him. He's not going to force you. He's not going to twist your arm. You know, we can go to the verse where, you know, he disciplines, but I remember one of my children spanking him and disciplining him, trying to break that spirit of rebellion in him. And I remember saying, it does not hurt. Doesn't hurt. I had to switch tactics, and I got a big leather strap. One hit of that, and okay, he broke that spirit. But you know, that spirit lies within us, that we want to do things our way. We want somebody to belong to us that probably shouldn't belong to us. And we're going to do it our way instead of God's way. And lose out on all the blessings of truly having our needs met by Christ. The second thing I want to mention, and I'm going really slow, right? I'm going to speed it up. Okay. Some place to belong that belongs to us. Some place that belongs to us. For me as a missionary, I go out and go to a foreign land, and I leave everybody and everything, and always have that desire and longing to be back with my brethren. Because I have that sense of belonging. That place of belonging. You know, everybody wants to have a home. And you know, they've been saying that the dream of owning a home today is just, it's gone. And they're trying to work on it. I don't know if they'll be able to do that, but we all have that desire to have a home, a place that belongs to us, that we belong to. We go to Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, and look at verses 8 through 10. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10, and verse 16. Here in Hebrews 11, starting in verse 8, it says, "But by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He left his home, his place, where he identified, where he belonged to. He left his family. He left everything. Why? Because he wanted to belong to God's place. He was looking for a city that God was the maker of. Verse 16 goes on and says, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. I think a lot of times we don't realize that we belong to a heavenly city. That New Jerusalem, paradise. We forget about that. We are so distracted in the things of this world and trying to make paradise of this. I've just given up. I don't know about you guys, but everything falls apart. It's chaos and everything's going downhill. Everything's running downhill. Anything that can go wrong is going wrong with this world. Why? Because Satan is ruling this world. But we have a place, some place that where we belong to, where everything is perfect. And at the end, we will be there in that perfection. It'll be realized. We will be complete. We won't have this flesh of sin. We will have propaganda machines we call universities. And I mean, turn away from God. Have no sense of belonging. My kids came back with a sense of need, a need to belong. When they came back, our church, Mission Boulevard, had a little bit of problem in displaying that they belong to them. That's why we lose a lot of our missionary kids. That's why they rebel. They don't feel like they belong to anything. That's why we're losing our young people, too. They feel that they belong somewhere else. The grass is greener on the other side. And then they realize when they finally get there, well, I can't go back now. I can't eat humble pie because I'm too proud. I'm just going to wallow in the mud. It's amazing. We're completely all messed up on who we belong to and where we belong and who belongs to us and where we really belong. Satan is really good at exploiting our fear of what God wants for our lives and where he wants us to be. If you go to Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 5. Oh, how could God kill some church members? Ooh, that's the context of this. How could he just take them to heaven? Well, they lied. God was making a point here. But the after effects of this are noteworthy here. Acts chapter 5, verses 10 through 13, it says, Then fell she straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in and found her dead and carried her forth buried her by her husband. Verse 11, yeah, that's where I really want to get to here. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And the hand, and by the hand of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Right here, 13. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them. But the people magnified them. Oh yeah, wow, God is working among them. I'm not going to join that church. No way. God might kill me too. I think that was like a mercy killing. Because how could you face your brother and say, I robbed you? How could everybody get over you being a thief? They went to heaven. God just took them there a lot quicker. I think he was being merciful to them. But we have such a sense of belonging to this world that our perspective is skewed about going to heaven. No, don't want to go there yet. I'm going to cling to this life. By the fingernail, you know, if I have to, I'm going to stay here. I don't want to die. But to be absent with the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. Do we really believe that's a better place? Do we understand we belong to that place? That's a little bit uncomfortable, isn't it? You start thinking, meditating, and you realize, wow, I have a problem with belonging. Do I really belong to him? Or more like it, does he really belong to me? I'm missing out on something. Has to be that I'm missing out on something. Satan is robbing us. You know, if we go to Acts chapter 1, verse 15, you know how many members were of the church that Christ came and he established? Of all the people that followed him and saw all the miracles and everything. You know how many people were members of that first church? Well, if you go there, it's only 120. Only 120 of all. Some people would say Christ failed. No. Failure wasn't his. He was available. The failure is ours. We don't understand where we need to belong to. Christ died for his church. He wants to do everything for his church. To be able to present himself, his church, to himself. Not all messed up with insecurities about belonging. No, he wants us to belong to him and be secure in him. Secure in his love. Secure in what we're here for. Satan is good at using fear so that we don't commit. And we don't do anything. That comes to the third and last one. And this one's shorter. This one's just real, real short. Something good to belong to us. Everybody's looking for good things. I've always wanted a Ferrari. I know now that I'll never get that Ferrari ever. And I really don't want it anymore. But, you know, I used to have a desire for it, to have a Ferrari. In fact, as we were driving up, there was a nice sports car came in, and I don't know if it was a Ferrari, but it was looking good. And I came in and it just took off, whoom, and I was thinking to myself, wow, that is a nice ride. And then I was thinking of my Ford Fiesta, and gutless, and you know, just struggling to maintain itself. That's not the things that we should be desiring. What, you know, young people are looking for a cause to belong to. They're looking for a cause to belong to. Even us older Christians, we're still looking for a cause to belong to. There's one there that has been given to us that is all our own, but, you know, I don't know, we fear it. We fear the rejection that comes with that job or that cause. What is that? Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 28. Very familiar to everybody. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. This is the Great Commission that God gave to his church, represented by the 12 disciples, or the 11, I should say. It says here, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Amen. What makes this special? Christ is saying, you will belong to me if you are a part of this cause. Lo, I am with you always. That is a promise. He is with us. A lot of times we don't even, we're not practicing the presence of God with us. He's with us every day, 24 hours a day, every moment. But how much time do we spend with that awareness of him with us? That he's always with us. Just think about how many times you sin, and then you realize, man, he's with me, and I still choose sin. But here, he's talking about his cause. He's giving us something that we can belong to, something that is worthwhile, something that we actually benefited from. Because we've all heard the gospel, we've all believed, and we've all followed him and been baptized and are members of his body now. But other people, there's so many places in this world, they would love to have a church like this. But you know what? We don't appreciate it. We don't. We don't appreciate it. We're coming to meet with our great Savior, but we don't appreciate it. The whole world wants this. They can't have it. And they don't even know that this is it. This is the Ritz-Carlton. Everybody wants to go to Florida and go to the Ritz-Carlton and have a good time on the beach or Hawaii or wherever. This is it. And you probably say, well, no, it's not that good. Yes, it is, because we have our Savior here today with us. Problem is we're not aware of it. He's with us. And he has a cause. He wants people to believe in him. He wants people to become members of this church, Mount Zion Baptist Church. You have a cause. You can be a part of it. You can belong. And he will be with you till the end, he says. You can belong. But this world has just twisted us so far that, oh, it's inconvenient. It's, I don't have time. It's this, that, and the other. We're being robbed blind by Satan. And we're consenting. We're just giving up and take it all. But you know what? Christ is still waiting. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 20, right there it says we're new creatures in Christ. We're ambassadors for Christ. It literally says there that we are in Christ's stead. If you don't represent him, nobody else will. If you don't share the gospel, nobody else will. If you don't help somebody to come and get baptized and be a member of his church, nobody will. If you don't help them to grow and mature spiritually to be able to do this same work, nobody else will. You saw it in the video this morning. It's not glamorous. It's just a lot of hard work getting into people's lives, meeting their needs, giving them the gospel. Once they get saved, getting them in the Word of God, getting them to follow the Holy Spirit, getting them in His church, getting them trained to do something for Christ, because there is a cause. Whether if you're bedridden and you can't make it, you can at least pray. There's something you can do. And God has left you here because there's still something you can do. We read in the beginning, you give a cup, you have your reward. A cup of water? Come on. You get a reward for a cup of water? Well, you get a reward for praying. You're going to get a reward for any little thing. I think God is so giving that he's looking for anything and everything that he can recompense you for. Anything and everything. We're going to get to heaven and we're going to say, whoa, I don't deserve any of this. Man, he's been watching me all this time and he's looked for any little thing so that he could bless me. What a Savior. And I could have done more. I don't know if you guys have seen Schindler's List. Be careful, there's nudity in it. But at the end, the guy that saved a whole bunch of Jews, he broke down saying, I could have done more. I could have done more. I could have sold this car. I could have saved one more. I hope that's not us. I hope that's not you. I hope you don't get to heaven and say, I could have saved one more. I think we have our sense of belonging and priorities all just all messed up. We've forgotten what is the most important thing that's ever happened to you. For me, salvation. What's the most important message you can share? Salvation. What's the most important thing you can do with your life? Share the gospel. What's the most important thing you can do after they get saved? Help them to grow so that they can share all as well. I want to go to heaven and I want everybody to be blessed. Not just like me, but more than me. I want all these young men and young women here to do more than me. Be better than me. Well, what's holding us back? Let's just be frank. What's holding us back? We've forgotten that we belong to Him and that He belongs to us. Let's end with Ephesians 3:20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. God is calling you to come close to Him, to belong to Him. He will belong to you if that's what you want. But you know what? You have that decision. He's calling. He's wanting us to come to Him. Pastor?